thrill me that I can remember reading about the life of Jesus. Some of the stories we even expect. When you think about Calvary and the price that Jesus paid, I like to meditate about Calvary, don't you? Not for any selfish reasons would I want to be there, but just to see the price that was paid for my sins. Not to see the suffering of the Savior so much as just the blackness of sin that he bore for our sins. Calvary is a picture that we must linger there. I would have liked to have been at Pentecost as we preached a couple Sunday nights ago. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in that upper room when the wind blew from another world? Hallelujah. Amen. I'd love to have been there on the first Easter morning. Amen. When Peter and John went running in the tomb and the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Amen. I would have liked to have been there. But I preached 5 Sunday mornings ago, if my mind serves me correctly, on it's getting cold outside. And something happened in that service, not because of the preaching, but something happened in that service that we've been in a wonderful worship mode or revival mode since then. Throughout January, really, if I wouldn't have wanted to preach, I could have just kind of pushed half the services, but I kind of been wanting to preach. So your preachers are hard to figure out. You know, when you're not doing it, they push you, and when you're doing it, they hold you back. So we're a tough bunch to figure out. But throughout January, there's been one picture in my mind. I looked at the Sunday School Quarterly the first part of the year, and I noticed that we were going to be talking about this picture of Jesus, and it's so out of character that it's what I want to talk to you about today. So if you'll stand with me, take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 21, Mark chapter number 11. I want to talk to you about God's original intent. God's original intent. In Matthew 21, we'll start at verse number 12. Matthew 21 and 12. When you get there, say amen. If you need us to wait, say hold on. Thank God for honest souls. Matthew 21 and 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew." Now, do you have this picture in your mind? I mean, Calvary, Easter, the resurrection, the good shepherd, Jesus walking on water, the miracles, raising the dead, Lazarus. This story just does not seem to fit in the life of Jesus. It just doesn't seem to be the tenor of his life. Because Jesus goes into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrows the tables of the money changers. I mean, is that in your Bible? Is that what it says? Amen. I mean, Jesus starts turning tables upside down. Right. I've meditated on this the last month. I mean, think about it. I mean, you got to get that picture. Something has him so irate. Something is going on that so stirs him that he does something he never does. He is irate. What's going on? He knocks the chairs over, the seats of them that sold doves. You say, "Oh, the pressure's getting to him." he said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer." The whole reason he is doing what he is doing is because his house has become something besides the house of prayer. "But ye have made it a den of thieves." Notice verse 14. the blind and the lame come to him in the temple, and he healed them. Mark 11 and 15, same story, different text. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying, "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer?" If you understand that we are in the triumphal week of Christ, he has come into Jerusalem in the triumphant entry as we know it. And this is one of those events of the last days. But you know, 2 years before this, John chapter number 2 records that he goes into the temple as well. And that's when he actually makes a scourge and begins to drive them out. So this is twice now that Jesus has cleaned up the church. So I just want to talk to you this morning from my heart about God's original intent for his church, that it should be called a house of prayer, that it's where the lame should be healed, where the gospel should be preached, where the deaf can be healed. That's why the Spirit of the Lord came by just a few moments ago to minister to the needs in our life. If you're glad to be in a church where the Spirit of God is able to touch his people, would you just lift a hand toward heaven and ask God to help us this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way this morning. Have your way in our heart and our life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Before you're seated, find three or four people and tell them this is a house of prayer. It is a house of prayer. Oh, it is a house of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a house of prayer. What irritated Jesus? What caused him to be so irate? Nothing except for the fact that his house was not fulfilling its intended purpose. So over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I am acutely aware of the fact that Jesus is not concerned that we are just having church. He is concerned how you're having church. Do you see the difference? They were still having church. The Passover feast was going on, and according to Josephus, an estimated 256,000 animals were going to be offered during that feast. There was much activity in the house of God. There was much sacrifice, many animals being slaughtered in the name of God. But activity did not please Jesus. Attendance did not please Jesus. They were still there. Matter of fact, it was so full in God's house that the lame and the blind didn't have money nor opportunity to get into the church house. They could not even gain access. And so Jesus comes into the house of God, and he is not satisfied with the picture of what is going on. And I've asked the Lord, as pastor, am I modeling my church after a church you would be pleased with? Could you come into our church house and have your will and have your way? Notice it's not referred to as a house of singing, although singing should lead us to prayer. It's not referred to as a house of preaching, although preaching should lead us to prayer. It is a house of prayer. We're preaching through the book of Acts on Sunday nights, and isn't it amazing the church of Jesus Christ was started in a prayer meeting? Not a concert and not a sermon, but in a prayer meeting. And prayer meetings are becoming extinct. So I'm wondering if the Lord came into our life today and came into our church house, which crowd would you be part of? Would you be part of the crowd that he calls us to exit the building? Or would you be part of that second group that received their healing and their miracles, that what a house of prayer? That it's not a house of merchandise and commercialism, but it is a house of prayer. That it's not enough that we're just going through the motion. It is not enough that we're just attending and that there is activity in the house of God. But it's much more than that. That you and I are encountering the presence of God. That it is a house of prayer. Amen. God forbid that he would come into my life or your life and cause us to have to leave because we have turned his house into something that is not a house of prayer. Why prayer? Why not singing? Why not worship? But this thing we do know, that Jesus wanted the atmosphere of his church. He wanted the aroma of his church to be one of prayer. He did not want it to be formalism. He did not want it to be silence. He did not want it to be lukewarmness or complacency. He didn't want it to be creeds and ideologies and philosophies. He wanted it to be a house of prayer, that you and I understand that we need God, that we are a desperate people, and without the Spirit of the living God, and without the hand of God and the mercy of God, friend, we're lost and hopeless. But with the Spirit of God, and with our hope in God, and with the Spirit of prayer, amen, we can pray, amen, that the lame can walk again, even the blind can receive their sight again, that we can sing a song, that we can go to God in howl, that we can go to God in prayer, amen, that we can ask and seek and knock, that it shall be opened unto us, that we can look into the word of God, we can preach God's blessings down, we can't command God's blessings down, but we can pray. I said we can pray. And if we'll pray and get a hold of God, it is God's original intent that it was to be a house of prayer. Oh God, today, let our church model ourselves after your word. Let us never be part of a crowd that would have to be driven out of the house of the Lord, that we're there for showmanship, that we're there to strike up a business deal, that we're there for any other reason except to pray and to worship and to magnify the Spirit of God. Amen. Let this sanctuary and let the atmosphere of this church be permeated with prayer, with prayer. We need you, God. We need you now more than ever before. Hallelujah. If we can get the people of God to pray. Matter of fact, prayer is such a powerful thing that when God spoke to Ananias to go help Saul of Tarsus, and Ananias said, Lord, wait a minute, are we talking about the same person? Are we talking about Saul of Tarsus, the one that murders and kills and persecutes? And God said, that's the one, Ananias. But behold, Saul, he is praying. He is praying. He is praying. No matter the situation that you're encountering today, no matter what you're facing in life, if you can begin to pray about the situation. Can I tell you here today, friend, believing is not the climax of God's will in our life. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 that there is a chain of events that happens, that God sends forth his preachers. And what do preachers do? They preach. And when you preach, what happens? Hopefully somebody hears. And when somebody hears, what happens? Then they believe. But notice in Hebrews or Romans 10 and 15 that believing is not enough. That they began to believe, and what do they do when they really believe? The Bible said that they began to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what ought to be going on in the house of God. Amen. As preaching goes forth in word or song. Amen. We hear it. Amen. When we hear God's word, when we hear God's word, we begin to believe it in our heart. We begin to believe it in our mind. It begins to ruminate in our spirit and our heart. And then we begin to call out on God. Lord, I know you can save my children. I know you can still heal cancer. God, I still know you can raise the dead. Amen. That's why I love going into the house of God, when we can let God have his way. Because the devil says circumstances tell us that it's too bad to worship God. The devil says throw up your hands and quit. But somebody testifies, sings, or preaches, and something grabs a hold of us. Maybe somebody quotes the word of God, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Amen. Somebody hears the word of God that says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Somebody hears the word that if God be for us, who can be against us? Maybe somebody hears the word, if two or three are gathered together in his name, that he's promised to be in the midst of them. And it gets down in their heart. They start listening to it over and over and over again. And then they, by faith, begin to believe God. And they say, Lord, I know you're able. I know you're able. I know you're able. And then a feeble hand lifts up toward God. And before long, they come in depressed. But they walk out in victory. They come in discouraged. But before long, their hands are lifted toward heaven. Because, brother and sister, they are calling on the name of the Lord. That's why during preaching or singing, it's never out of order to begin to call on the name of the Lord. Because he alone can turn your situation around. I said he alone. That's why I preach. I'm not preaching so somebody says, well, that's a good sermon. We enjoyed the homiletics. But when I'm done, I've pointed men to the answer. I've pointed men to the Savior. I've pointed men to a sanctifier. I've pointed men to the hope in Christ Jesus. When you sing, sing about him. When you teach, teach about him. When you worship, lift him up. Our hope is in Jesus. And as long as we make it a house of prayer, I said, friend, with him all things are possible. All things. As long as it is a house of prayer. God's original intent, that this was a place that men would hear the gospel and be saved, where the blind could receive their sight, where the lame could get up and walk. That's why Jesus never condemned four men for tearing up the shingles and lowering a man down. He never condemned them. Matter of fact, he talked about the faith. No, not of the man on the stretcher, but the faith that'll cause you to get on top of a building, to begin to rip back shingles and to lower men down to Jesus. Oh, it's a house of prayer. Amen, friend, it is a house of prayer. Amen, somewhere along the line we've missed it. We've magnified the importance of the sermon, and preaching is important. We've magnified the importance of a lot of other ministries. But when the day is done, amen, when everything is said and done, is it a house of prayer? Do men know how to get to Jesus? Have men called on the name of the Lord? Have men turned their lives around and gotten saved and washed in the blood of Jesus? It's a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Let us come boldly. Where? Let us come boldly. Where? One more time. Where are we supposed to go? Why? That we may obtain in time of trouble. Let us come boldly. Where? To the throne of grace. To the throne of grace. That's why, friend, you want my philosophy on pastoring and preaching? I preach toward the altar service. I preach toward the altar service. Oh, if I had my way, and what really excites me as far as preaching probably would bore you to tears. So I don't preach to enjoy it for myself. I preach that somebody might find something and come to the altar. That in this house of prayer, in this atmosphere of prayer and worship, men might call on the name of the Lord and be saved. That men might come boldly. Something's wrong in our churches. When it's time to approach the throne of grace, and we leave. Something's wrong when we can sit through singing and sermons, and when it's time to come boldly to the throne of grace, we're uninterested, or we're intimidated, or we shy away, or we don't see the relevance. You know what I'm learning? I'm learning you're doing it in your own accord. Somebody that can sit through a song and a sermon, but never approach the throne of grace, they're telling me that they don't need God's strength. They don't need God's power. That they're living the Christian life in their own strength and in their own accord. That they've learned how to do it without praying. And friend, that spirit scares me to death. That is legalism. That is Phariseeism. The Pharisees didn't need Jesus. They didn't need the Son of God. Hear me today. I'm before God telling him, I need his spirit. I've got to have his power. When it's time to approach the mercy seat, when it's time to come boldly to the throne of grace, I want to be first. I've got to have his anointing. I've got to have his spirit. I'm leading a church. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I can't do it in my own strength. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. Anoint me, God, with fresh oil. Anoint me afresh. Anoint me anew. Let us come boldly. When it's time to go to the throne of grace, we ought to have hands lifted. We're a humble people. We're a desperate people. We need you, God. We've got to have your help. Somebody that doesn't go to the throne of grace. Maybe you don't mean to say it that way, but it would seem like you've learned how to do it without God. Then maybe you're just going through the motion. Maybe you're just going through the routine. I don't want to go through the routine. I don't want to go through the motion. I want it to be a house of prayer. Oh God, I want it to be a house of prayer. More than I can verbalize, I want it to be a house of prayer where needs are met. I'm just going to be honest this morning. If Jesus would have came into that temple, some of you would have been sitting in those seats that sold doves and exchanging money. Because you're not interested in being a house of prayer. It's a social hour. It's a fun hour. It's a family hour. But Jesus said, my original intent, I don't ever want that picture. He overthrew, the same word when they overthrew Jerusalem. He overthrew the money tables. I mean, would it get your attention if I just turn this thing upside down? Can you imagine when Jesus walked in there, started turning tables upside down? I mean, feathers probably flying in the air, coins clinking on the ground, everybody trying to get up and get out of there, and the thunderous voice of the Son of God, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And here comes some of the lame, and here comes some of the blind, and this is why Jesus came to this world. He came not for the whole that needed not a physician, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why we're having church today. How many got problems? I got problems. Hey, but what can we do about it? Friend, let's not compare stories. Let's see who's got it worse. I said it's a house of prayer. Let's talk to God about it. Let's lay it on the altar of heaven. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. Is he not a God that loves us? Is he not a God that has all power? Is he not a God that can reorganize the events of your life? Yes, he is. I said, yes, he is. Then make it a house of prayer. A house of prayer. A house of prayer. It would really, really be hard-pressed for you to convince me when you don't pray here that you've really got a very vibrant prayer life at home. Matter of fact, you'll be the first one I've ever met. Because in his house, that is a house of prayer, you can't do it. It'd be hard to think that you can ignore the baby crying, that you can ignore the laundry, that you can ignore the yard and the telephone and everything at home that's distracting you and focus in. When everything right here is leading you to the throne of grace. Every song that is being sung is leading you to the throne of grace. The preaching is pointing you to the throne of grace. If you can't do it here, it's going to be hard to do it somewhere else. But how many say, God, let this church be a house of prayer. Let it be a house of prayer. When service is over, and all you can say is, I enjoyed the preaching. I failed. If at the end of the service, all you can say is, I enjoyed the singing, we failed. If all you can say, because if you've not engage the presence of God, if you've not come to the throne of grace, the singing didn't lead you there. The preaching didn't meet its objective, because it is to take us to the Lord in prayer. God, don't let me be part of that crowd that you reject. Once again, and I'm done, it's not enough we're having church. If Jesus would have been satisfied they were just having church, he'd have never kicked anybody out. He'd have never threw anybody out. If activity pleases the Lord, they were offering a quarter of a million animals. Attendance and activity doesn't please God. It's his atmosphere. It shall be a house of prayer. Needs to be the aroma. Needs to be the atmosphere. Let me ask you today, if you're wanting our church to be that kind of a place, would you just stand to your feet and lift a hand toward heaven and say, God, let this be a house of prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, bless the name of the Lord. Lord, we're here today because we need you. Lord, we're here today because we've got to have your power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, it is a house of prayer. Oh, hallelujah, this is your house. This is your house, almighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of the living God, speak to us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Right now, if you'd say, Brother Austin, there's something in my life. Might be physical, might be financial, might be emotional, might be relational, might be spiritual. There's something that you'd say, I need to pray about this thing. I need direction. I need encouragement. I need God to reveal something to me. I need strength. I need deliverance. There's a multitude of prayer requests. It's a house of prayer. And somewhere along the line, we've got to that mentality that somewhere along the line you get perfected in the walk with God. That you don't have to keep coming back to the prayer line. Somewhere along the line, we started equating battles and problems with sin. And so we think if we step out and say, I need prayer, well, something's going on in our life. Jesus rebuked that spirit. When the man was born blind, well, who sinned? Him and his parents. Nobody sinned. But the works of God might be manifest. We've got to get past that. We've got to get over that hurdle. And say, oh, it's a house of prayer. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of strength. So this morning, while they prepare to sing that beautiful song, that this is his house. Amen. While the church begins to worship the Lord one more time, you'd say, I've got something I'm praying about. Amen. I want you to meet me right here at the front of this church right now. Amen. I want you to come around this altar. I need you just to stand. Just stand right here at this altar if you would. You say, I need God to direct me. Amen. Just stand around this altar and say, God, I need you this morning. Hallelujah. It's a house of prayer. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Those of you that are coming, say, I need you this morning. I just want you to lift your hand toward heaven and say, God, I've got to have your help. I've got to have your power. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, you can turn it around. Lord, you've spoken to us here today. Lord, your word is true. Your power is everlasting. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a house of prayer. This is your house. Oh, it's a house of prayer this morning. Oh, God, we're coming boldly to the throne of grace. Glory. Worship him, church. Let there be an atmosphere prayer. Let there be an atmosphere prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory. That's it. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, your word. Your word.
Father, come and dwell. This is your house. A holy house of prayer.
Oh, it's a house of prayer.
And the lonely.
Oh, you know,
their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell.
Holy Spirit, overflow this place. Decorate our walls with grace and mercy. Let your healing and redemption find searching souls.